So this is one of those messages that honestly, I kind of thought, you know, I don't want this to really sound negative. You know, I don't want this to sound like kind of a like I'm down on anything. But the reality is that the condition of our world is kind of rough. It's in a little bit of a bad place. And I don't know if you realize that or not. You know, I bought a pickup truck in 2021. My wife said, "Honey, you need a new pickup truck," and I obeyed quickly. and so she said, "You need a new pickup truck," and so, sweet, I said, "Get a truck." So I got a truck, and it's got the little black and red interior, and it's a pretty truck, you know. It's actually in the shop now, but that's another story. But you know, the starter went out on it, but anyway, it's it had a few miles on it. It was a 2020 and 2021, and this is the nicest vehicle I ever bought. We never buy new vehicles, but this was pretty much new. And so I get it, and I'm driving around, feeling pretty cool. And so in the city, there's all these alleys, you know, that you drive through. So, you know, I go to pull in through this alley, and I'm gonna take this little way out, and then I hear, yeah, I hit a retaining wall. And it was one of those things, I tried to go forward and the vehicle wouldn't go. I'm like, please let that be something other than my truck, you know. And you know, you back up and it's the grindings were. So I back up and I get out and I walk around and I'm just going, no. My new truck, you know, I mean, I had this thing maybe a month and I broke it. You know what I mean? I know, what a doofus, right? I was so disappointed, beating myself up, all of these things, you know. You know, I think that's how God, I wonder how God felt, you know, when we broke the greatest toy ever made, you know. I mean, when we blew it in the garden, I say we, because it really, it's all of us. You know what I mean? Go, why did Adam and Eve do that? You would have done the same thing. Okay, probably did it faster, amen? Yeah, we broke the best toy ever made, you know? We broke just humanity. And since that time, we've had a bit of a problem. The consequences were quickly seen. And felt. Sin takes people away from God. Takes us from realizing that we're created in His image. We're created in His image, but sin, it keeps us from seeing and acting and responding as if we're in the image of God. But that's okay, because God's got a big heart. God has a heart. He loves us so much that you know what He's going to do. He's going to come down. He's going to live amongst us. He's going to enter our mess. He's going to die on the cross, and He's going to make it all better. But we still have a problem. We still have this condition. And most of us in here, we've dealt with that. But as you know, even though we were baptized, it didn't mean that we are not with sin, amen. We still blow it. It was great to get together with my elder this morning. He grabbed me and says, "Brother, I need to confess." I love it when we're getting open about our lives with one another, amen. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to try not to make this a long sermon, okay? But I feel a long sermon coming on. Take your time. Some people are like, "Speak for yourself." In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we know what happened. God created. And verse 5 is something really interesting happened here. It says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that He made human beings on the earth. And His heart was deeply troubled." God grieved. Because as he looked, he goes, and this is amazing, every inclination of the human heart is just evil all the time. Like, whoa, that's intense. Evil all the time. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17. Because I think sometimes maybe we struggle with this concept that, you know, and I know many of us go, I'm not evil. I'm pretty good. Amen. And of course, we know that without God, we not only could do nothing, but we are really nothing without God. It is only 100% fully because of God that we are anything. But in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 15, I'm going to read. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, though, and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Like a partridge that hatches eggs, it did not lay. Or those who gain riches by unjust means. When their lives are half gone, the riches will desert them. And in the end, they will prove to be fools. A glorious throne, exalted from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. They keep saying to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it now be fulfilled. And the church said, amen. 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 Just three simple points. See the human, see the heart of humans, see the need for divine intervention, and see the promise of redemption. The human heart is sick. Our hearts are sick. They're deceitful above all. Our hearts are so sick. When God says every inclination of their heart is evil all the time, you know he's not lying. You know he's telling the truth. And so when the Spirit tells Jeremiah, tell the people that the heart is deceitful above all, and it is beyond cure. It's a stark truth. Our hearts are inherently deceitful. Deceit in the heart is like this insidious thing. It doesn't always manifest itself openly, but it lurks beneath the surface. It influences our thoughts and our motives and our actions. Consider the daily choices we have to come up against and the reasons that we give ourselves for our actions. How often are the explanations we give for the things we do, how often are they genuine reflections of our true motives? How often are they convenient narratives, probably, that we craft to protect ourselves? We have a way of saying things about ourselves. And, you know, and when you think about it, you go, man, my heart, you don't know why. I don't know why I do what I do. I don't know why I think the way I think. We are always, I'm telling you, the human is daily negotiating with truth. Every day we're negotiating with it. And it happens so quickly and so easily and so fast that you don't even realize it. But you're daily negotiating. And you know why? Because our hearts, they really are, they're sick. They're sick. Without God, they're really sick. Even with God, though, our hearts are still. And you might be tempted to think, well, who would know my heart better than me? The Bible says you don't. You don't understand your heart. No, I know my heart. I know what's in my heart. Anybody ever say that? I know what's in my heart. No, you don't. Okay? You don't. You wish you could. And it's one of the things that's really struggling us. But this is a condition of the world. I don't want you to just think about yourself, but think about your neighbors. Think about your coworkers. Think about the people that you watch, whether it's on social media or ever. Their hearts are so sick. Oh, I know it doesn't look like it because they're dressed really well and they've got a lot of money. They've got nice cars, but their hearts are so sick. They actually need to be healed so badly, so desperately. And you have the salve. You have what they need. He's given it to you.
Come on, Ben.
You know, God says, curses anyone that will trust in flesh. Who would trust in a man? You know, this is coming at a time when Israel actually is about to face war. They're about to face being taken over, overrun, and they're tempted to put their faith in their own armies or maybe in neighboring armies. And God goes, you put your trust in flesh, you will be like a bush in the wastelands. You will be just dried up. It will be a sad thing to see if you put your trust in anything but God Almighty. And I'm telling you, this is the message that we've got to be saying and sharing with the world around us. Don't put your trust in everything else that you're tempted to put your trust in. We've got to tell the world more now than ever that it is time for us to trust God. It is time for us because they're desperate. They're thirsty. They're like, I know they look good on the outside. But they are like a dry bush in a wasteland. A dry bush. All of them. And I'm not being critical. I'm telling you, this is the condition of the world. You've got to see the human heart and see the condition of humans. Kind of look beyond ourselves. Yeah. When you walk around, do you not just critiquing, do you have real empathy for your neighbor, for that coworker, for that person in the checkout line? I know we're not going to walk up to them and say, you know, you're kind of like a dry bush, man. No, that's not a good approach. That's not a good approach. But hey, whatever gets you going, amen, might lead to an interesting conversation. But we should have such compassion for the human heart because we know I know my heart's deceitful. I know that my condition is bad. Without God, I know that I am nothing. I know I'm like that. I'm like, but see, if you trust in God, it says blessed is a man who trusts in God, whose confidence is in God. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out their roots into the stream. You don't fear when the heat comes. The Bible doesn't say the heat won't come. It's coming. The season of drought will come. Anybody going through a season of drought right now? You're not? Amen. Praise God. Maybe you're just out of touch, okay? But man, well, you're going to have a season of drought. If you don't have it now, it's coming. But a season of drought will happen. But you know what? The person who's strong, they can endure that season of drought. They'll be able to stand strong. And even though it's drought, it's bad, but they're getting nutrients and water and source from something because their roots are so deep. This is the message we've got to share with the world. This is what people need desperately. People need this more than ever. Yeah. And you're the ones that have the keys. Man. But there's a divine intervention, isn't there? That God Almighty, he stepped in. He said, I care about you so deeply. Turn over to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people. Amen?
Amen.
But guess what? As sin entered the world, light also entered the world. John chapter 1, verse 1. In John 1, verse 1, I love this passage of scripture. I'm not going to take time to read it all, but the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. John gives us a pointed image of into all of this darkness, Jesus steps in and intervenes and provides light. But not only that, he says, you know what you are? You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. All right. Some of us are more salty than light. That's okay. But you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. That's what we are. That's what Jesus said. You are the light. You are a light to the world. You are bright and shining. Wherever you go, you're bringing light. You're bringing salt too, but you're bringing light. Amen? Amen. Wherever you go, you are something special. But it's not because of me. It's only because God saw fit to help me to trust in him. And so now, even though I'm going through these moments of life, I'm like a tree that's planted by the waters. And you won't be moved. I will not be moved. You will be strong. You will endure. But that, you're part of that divine intervention. It wasn't just Jesus intervening. He put his spirit inside of you. Today is the day of Pentecost. Today is Pentecost. Celebrate it. What that means, what happened at Pentecost? The Spirit came down, filled the disciples, they spoke in spirit. You have that Spirit inside of you. God put his Spirit inside of you. You are part of God's intervention into the world. Amen. That's why we're here. I'm convinced that there's no other reason for me to live on this earth. Someone will do a better job of raising my kids, probably. Robin doesn't want to get married, but she could easily find a much better husband, trust me. I'm here. I'm here to be a light. I'm here to help someone go to heaven. That's the only thing you get to bring to heaven with you, is a friend. That's it. That's the only reason I'm here. It's the only reason I exist. I got to do a lot of other stuff. I got to raise my kid. I got to be a good husband. I got to go to work. I got to do all these other things. And I got a job to do here as well. But none of that matters if I don't bring friends to heaven. None of that's going to matter. It's not going to matter whether we plant at St. Charles or whether we meet in this building or whether we get the bathrooms down here fixed. It's not going to matter. You know, go to God. God, we got a great bathroom. And God's going to go, get that junk out of here. Look at this mansion I got over here. You're like, yeah, that's a much better bathroom, God. I don't know what I was thinking. None of that's going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is that when I get to heaven, I'm going to be like, my boys, my buddies, my friends, my children, I brought them all with me. Amen.
All right, man.
I brought them to heaven with me. There is a need for divine intervention. And Jesus uses us to do it. He's doing it. He's working. He is working constantly, but he wants us to join him in that work. Amen. Isn't it cool that the Lord invites us to work alongside of him? We don't, there's one way to look at it. We're working for the Lord. We're working for the Lord. We're working with the Lord. Amen. Yeah. We're working with the Lord. Isn't that a better way to look at it? I get to work with Jesus every day. I get to get up in the morning. I got some things I got to do. Got a job, all that stuff, but I'm working with the Lord every day. I'm part of that divine intervention. And we'll close out. See the promise of redemption. God has promised the world that they will be saved. In Jeremiah chapter 31, we're going to close out with this verse. Where did Jeremiah go? Oh, there it is. Tell you what, you start using digital Bibles all the time, you get a little rusty with the fingers, you know what I'm saying? Kind of go, you know, go eat popcorn. You're trying to figure out how to get the. So you get a little rusty, I'm telling you. In Jeremiah chapter 31. And I believe I want verse.
Come on, man. Don't give up.
How did I lose that verse? Come on, you know where the verse is at, don't you? It's where he says, I will give you a new heart. And not exactly those words, a new heart, but... Is that it? Yes. Thank you. This is a covenant. I wasn't going to share this verse, but this is a covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. The Lord wants to give humans a new heart. He wants to fix that broken heart. But we've got to be the people that are praying. God, heal me, but God, heal my neighbor. God, heal me, but God, heal my coworker. God, heal me, but heal that guy. Heal that person I pass by all the time in the grocery store. Heal that person that I pass by and I don't even pay attention. Heal them. Heal my friends, God. Heal them. Give them a new heart. Write it on their heart, God. Please make their hearts better. The promise is restoration. The promise is redemption. The promise is healing. And you are agents of redemption. You're agents of healing. You're agents of restoration. You are in that ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people to God.
Yeah.
One soul at a time.
Amen.
And so here's our challenge for the week. Next slide. Let's see. Every day this week, find someone to share your testimony with. Just share your testimony. Can I want to share my testimony with you. Give them the short version if you don't have a lot of time. Amen. You know, we got a long version and a short version. Amen. Ask them how much time they have just so they don't walk away from you. Amen. You got 5 minutes. I got a five. I want to share my testimony. This was a challenge I got at church this week, to share my testimony with someone every day. See what happens. Amen. But also, let's pray this week. Pray to God. Pray. May your light shine this week. God, let my light shine in this world, in my neighborhood, wherever I go. But pray specifically for Metro St. Louis area. You know, it's a horrible story on Wednesday morning at about 1 a.m. Why? I don't know. But a six-year-old boy was with his mother at 1 a.m. at a convenience store. And someone, there was a man in there that had just gone to his sister's graduation the night before, sitting there playing on a slot machine. Someone walks in, shoots this guy 6 times, shoots the six-year-old in the side. Maybe it was an accident. And the baby wasn't even related to the man. They just happened to be in a convenience store. I don't know why they were in a convenience store at 1 a.m. with a six-year-old, the mother. But, I mean, this kind of stuff is happening all the time in the metro area. The amount of crime and violence. Man, people need Jesus. We've got to be praying for our metro area, amen? But also pray for our churches in Siberia and the Far East that we support. Pray for the church in Liberia, Africa, and pray for the Heartland region as well. Pray for our churches, all the places that we're supporting. We're going to be collecting special missions at the end of next month on June 30th. But please, let's just be praying. Let's pray for our metro area like never before. Let's just not pray, though. Let's do something, amen? You don't have to do everything this week. You don't have to go share with 100 people this week. You can just go tell one person your testimony this week. I believe God will move. God will be glorified. And I believe you're going to come back next week fired up, amen?
Amen.
God bless.